Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary Org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way, episode 183. Today we're talking about should you hide steroids from your doctor or spouse by Balagas. So this is going to be a very interesting podcast. And that definitely going to be a great one for those of you out there to tell us your past history and experiences, you know, dealing with spouses and dealing with doctors. So we're going to go over why some people hide their use in the first place. We're going to talk about risks of keeping secrets from loved ones and doctors. We're talking about Balagas cycles that won't cause issues with your spouse or doctor. And we're also going to talk about why we love Balagas as a brand. And of course, you can always come on the forum, evolutionary.org. A lot of people keep asking this, but come on the forum and you can find out where you can get Balagas because it is quality gear, fast, and all that good stuff. But first, let me remind everyone, we are on Apple, we're on Spotify, we're on different platforms out there. However you're listening to us, we'd be really appreciative if you dropped a like, if you dropped a sub, and if you made sure that you told your friends and family about our podcast. We take pride on this podcast. We're a podcast. Everything that we do and everything we say on this podcast is checked by doctors and made sure that we are being as accurate as possible. And if we're not accurate, we will correct it. Okay, and we will say later on that we were not accurate. So that's the difference between our podcast and other podcasts. So you want to keep our podcast going. It's very important that you're dropping likes, you're subscribing on as many platforms as possible, listening to us, dropping comments, doing all that good stuff to help us get picked up by these algorithms that work in very, very mysterious ways. And that keeps our podcast going. So we need your help on that. So let's start off right off the bat with why some people hide their use. And I'll bring in Mobster to start this off because in Mobster's country, steroids are much more legalized. But people, even in your country, Mobster, in other parts of Europe, still hide their use. So why don't you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, look, open, honest approach to this stuff, Steve. I've never mentioned it to my mum. My mum's 80 years of age, and I'm sure I would get that look. And that look would be twofold. It would be one that I'd never bother telling her. And then obviously she'd be worried about my health. The fact that I'm 60 and still doing what I'm doing, I'm still her boy, blah, blah, blah. Right. So it's kind of weird because in every other situation, I've been comfortable with the idea of being open about it. And I'll specifically talk about the difference between the NHS and doctors in this country versus, for example, the states where you have to have medical insurance to cover your medical costs and so on and so forth. The thread that in kind of inspired this whole topic, and we've kind of addressed parts of this on previous shows before, but we're coming from a different angle today, and this is becoming more of an issue anyway, was called Hiding Steroids from Doctor. That's over on Elite, Steve, and one of our sister forums. And it was specifically to do with the idea of, and we've seen this a few times. Again, this is the reason why we're doing this show. People that are getting prescribed TRT and hoping to do some sort of cycle that will not affect their values too much in the next few months as they go for their annual or their multiple times per year checkup with the doctor. Specifically, I'm thinking the normal that I've seen before a couple of times, Steve, has been roughly, I'm having a TRT checkup in 3 months' time, and when I run a cycle between then, how can I do that? And this kind of thought will give us the spouse angle as well, which we've covered on other shows.
Well, let me stop you really quick before you continue. You mentioned you won't even mention it to your mother. Tell us why that is.
Let me give you a different story, Steve. And this was my dad. When my dad was alive, he was an ambulance man, and the ambulance man is what they used to have before paramedics here in the UK. And my dad was one of the first people in Southeast London from the ambulance team to do the paramedical course. Part of the paramedical course allowed as a paramedic, with the permission of a doctor over the radio, for you to give patients injections prior to that time. So on their way to the hospital in order to save their life. Prior to that time, you couldn't do it. You had to wait till you got to the hospital, which was crazy. People were getting illnesses and dying without these injections. The problem was, right, they, for some reason, some part of the course referenced anabolic steroids. I don't know how. I have no idea. I never found out. And I brought a product, which I think was called anabolic mega something or other. And essentially, it was just vitamins, but it was done by Joe Weider. And I know that actually Joe Weider's company got sued, or should I say, they got a cease and desist, something like that, from the FDA in the States for suggesting that these products were anabolic steroids. And my dad saw this anabolic, whatever the fuck it was, which again was just super duper vitamin products. And he was like, they better not be steroids. And I'm like, no, Dad, it's just vitamins. Yeah, but it's got anabolic written on the label. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake. It was just that the idea that I might have been using steroids versus a reality. And you've got to remember, this is pre-internet. This was people, there was an internet that was being used by the military, but there was no obvious internet. We didn't have a PC in a house. We didn't have broadband in the house. I couldn't sit my dad down like we could now and discuss these things. With my mum, it's just easier not to tell her, Steve. I don't live there. I do what I fucking like and what I like 99.9% of the time. But you got the whole mother-son relationship. And I've had, I'm 60 years of age as we do this show, Steve. And a couple of years ago, pre-COVID, I think it was 53, 54, whatever. I think I got the stand there so I can hit you. Mother, you'd have to get on the chair and I'd have to get the chair for you. I'm not standing for a figure at 54 fucking years of age. So the whole mother-son relationship, whatever else.
So basically, you don't want to worry your mother.
Exactly. I don't want to worry my mum, and I don't want to have to sit there and explain to my 80-year-old mother the whole relationship and the nature of it and whatever else, and know full well that I could tell her that, and then I'd probably have to tell her again tomorrow or something. So it's a lot easier just not to do it. I think the sheer fact that she's one time she complained, Steve, that she couldn't physically get her arms around me to give me a hug because I was so goddamn big, was probably a kind of idea. And I suspect it's one of those things she knows but doesn't ask about, and I know but I don't tell her about. And it's just easier that way. Spouses, relationships I've had, certainly since I started taking steroids, Steve, at age 37 till now, I've had zero issue explaining what I'm doing. On occasion, and again, I can see that this might be an issue when it comes to spouses, and we'll talk about that as well. I've had the occasional, you're grumpy because you're on steroids. No, just because you're pissing me off. It's a city day, whatever. So that, but let's address one specific part. I'll start this part. There are, and this happens from time to time as well, a small proportion of our listeners and the members on the forum whose career is the issue. So we're going to start with a career first. You could be working for the federal government. You could be specifically part of the military. That's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, whatever. You could be in a job position, for example, that requires you to work on power lines or in underground or in certain dangerous situations. And a lot of these jobs come with specific requirements. Here in the UK, as an example, they can randomly drug test the fellas here that make the big money on the railways, that's the infrastructure, and also on the high electrical pylons. Steve just pointed out pylons. Pilots, absolutely, Steve. Now, for the most part, pretty much all of these are worried about you using recreational drugs, and specifically any drug that either gets you high or drowsy. However, and I'm including the military in this example, again, all the sections of the military code specifically addresses steroids, I believe, in the United States of America. But, and again, think about how this has worked. You can see this for yourself, and you can literally go and check this for what I'm saying is correct. It also includes the police. So that literally we would call the cops. And I'm thinking, as an example here, Steve, Ronnie Coleman. Now, both the military code and the police, I would argue, Steve, turn a blind eye. You really have to fuck up or be a really crappy soldier or really, really awful policeman, either pissing your superior officers off or getting a bunch of complaints. Ronnie Coleman was the size of a fucking house. There's a video out there. We could barely sit on the seat in the squad room. And he's literally 300 plus pounds, vascular as fuck, fitted uniform. And yet he was able to go to schools and represent the Texas police, the Arlington police force in Texas, where he was living and still lives, I believe, as a representative of the police in a positive way, because he was Mr. Olympia, because he was still with the police force at that time and later on the reserves and so on. So it was one of those, if you're a good guy, if you do your job well, either your senior officer in the military or your senior officer in the police will give you too much shit. John Romano's addressed this when he talked about New York cops getting done in steroid drug tests. And he said, we want our police officers to be stronger, fitter, faster than the criminals, than the cons. Same thing with correctional officers in prison. The problem is, again, is even, I've seen this also addressed here, Steve, where if you work in an office and you wear a shirt and a tie and you put on 20 pounds of muscle, people are going to talk. And sometimes it's easier to do relatively mild cycles. So you add a few pounds of muscle, you should get a little bit stronger and keep your muscles covered up. Then have to answer arsehole questions when people should be minding their own goddamn business. And it doesn't affect your job. I would actually argue, for the most part, being strong, muscular, and more effective makes you a better worker, not a worse worker. There's a slight risk of injury in the gym, but there's a slight risk of injury in loads of things that people do recreationally. So for some people, you might want to be careful in your approach for your careers, for both legal reasons, for rule-specific rule restrictions. And sometimes, as I said, it's just easier not to have to deal with that bullshit. We've all seen pictures, Steve. Just let me give you another example. I'm thinking what we call the fire brigade, paramedical fire teams that you have in the States require them to carry equipment up ladders and break down doors in burning houses and get people out. So you want them to be strong and muscular and fit. You want them to be healthy. You want them to be able to deal with the physical stress of those jobs. The military, we want our soldiers, our army, our air force to kick the other army and the air force's ass. We want those things, but we, and I know also that certain military, and I know this from talking to people that's been specifically involved in this, certain military forces, the US and the UK, Germany during the war, World War II, and so on and so forth, looked at the whole super soldier program. We all had this. I think even the Japanese got into it, the Chinese have looked at it, with the idea of boosting the performance somehow of the military. Now, that has included in the past, Steve, and we've done this on another show, methamphetamine for pilots that were flying 12-hour flights at night and being accurate and on point. And yet, ironically, as Steve said with his hint earlier on, we now drug test our pilots because we don't want them dozing off on plane trips. We don't want people that are in charge of trains being on even prescribed medication that can make you dozy. So the rules and restrictions are there for a good reason, but at the same time, I suspect even in these in the career sections, there can be an element of, even if it's just in the office, Steve, them not understanding that you're... let me give you an example as well. They're not understanding how steroids work. It doesn't make you super horrible, aggressive, unless you're already an arsehole. You'd be an arsehole without steroids. And even stupid situations, and this is what's really weird, and we're going to cover this in all of the aspects that we're dealing with today. The Bigger, Stronger, Faster movie covered, the documentary covered this really well. We want our athletes, we want our police officers, we want our paramedics, we want our fire brigade, we want all of these people that are doing these crazy, hard, stressful jobs to be physically capable of protecting our sorry asses in an emergency, in the war. And yet, we want, at the same time, our athletes on the field of play, kicking further than they've ever done before, running faster than they've ever run before, throwing the javelin faster than further than it's ever been thrown before, and outperforming the athletes of yesteryear, and yet we kind of still have this weird, skewed kind of how does it work in regards to using PEDs. There is a slight thing that should hopefully happen in a not-too-distant future, Steve, with the enhanced games, the suggestion being that these athletes will be not restricted in any way for using steroids and drugs, etc., and whether or not the enhanced games, if it happens, produces new records And just and the whole because a lot of what happens now, see, when athletes do incredibly well, is that oh, they're on drugs. The reason why he's a great boxer is he's on drugs. So yeah, there's still an aspect out there. But specifically thinking, Steve, and I'll bring you in now. What's your thought on the issue of PED use for your career before we talk about spouses, loved ones, TRT, and so on?
So I mean, the big problem with your entire, rant is that steroids are illegal. And even in Britain, certain steroids are illegal. So if your steroids are not, FDA approved, if they're not medically approved to be used, and you go buy steroids from underground lab, you technically are breaking the law, even in steroids, and even in countries where steroids are legal. Like if you go to Latin America, people think, oh, I can go to Latin America, just walk into a pharmacy and get
Yeah.
steroids. It don't work like that. First off,
I'll debate it now, but I will argue the point back with you in a second.
no, I'm not. I'm just saying, I'm just telling the truth. Like, if you go to a Latin American company, you don't just walk into a pharmacy and just grab steroids off the shelf. The pharmacist has to give it to you. The pharmacist has to approve to give it to you. So you still have to have a medical professional. Number two, you don't have a variety of steroids to get. You can't just walk into a pharmacy and go, hey, I want Tren, I want Primo. These things aren't available. These are all things that have to be produced by underground labs and then manufactured. Even the ones that, even in Britain, Mobster, when you use Tren, when you use Primo, when you use any of these that aren't medically approved or that were banned for medical purposes, like Equipoise is a perfect example. It's a vet steroid. It's not human grade anymore. It was at one time, but now it is not. So you still are technically going to be breaking the law. So at the end of the day, people like John Romano and these people are hypocrites because they're all about, oh, law and order, law and order, law and order. But if you're someone who works in an industry where you're arresting people for breaking the law, it would be hypocritical for you to be breaking the law. So at the end of the day, there
Yeah.
are different ways to not hide it. And
Yes.
that is by getting a prescription. You can get prescriptions for testosterone and you can freely use it. You can travel on a plane as long as you have that prescription. The old lady who gets on the plane, she's got eight, nine drugs. She's got insulin needles. She's got her insulin. She's got all this drugs and stuff. She's got a freaking drugstore in her bag. It's no problem. But if you're a big bodybuilder and you walk through the line and you've got Tren and Primo and Equipoise and all these illegal steroids, which are illegal in every country, not just they may be legal to use, but they're not legal to acquire and they're not legal
Yes.
to sell, then you
Yes.
will get in trouble. So there is a lot of hypocrisy out there in the bodybility. And let me touch on,
That's an
let me explain
hypocrisy,
why though.
Steve. Even in the government, there's an hypocrisy because and I agree everything you've just said, 100%. And I would argue
But let me
even the
get to
same
the
thing for me.
point. Let me get to
Sure.
the point of what I'm trying to say. So here's the thing. At the end of the day, the main topic is why some people hide their steroid use. And at the end of the day, there's a good reason why most people do. And most people listening, 90% of you will agree with this, and you probably will too, Mobster, is that's no one's business. We don't go around and we say, what we eat to other people. We don't go around and tell people what other drugs that we might be on. We don't go around telling people that I have to take cream to put on my balls because I have itchy balls. We don't go around telling people that. But what happened was with steroid use, and this started in the 80s. This started in the 80s when people started publishing this stuff and they wanted to get their name out there. They started to brag about using steroids. They started bragging. I'm gonna brag about using steroids. I'm gonna be different than everyone else. That started in the 80s, and then when social media came along, you had guys like Boston Lloyd on video injecting a bunch of gear because they wanted to make it cool. They wanted to be different. And they started being more open about their steroid use, and that got them clicks. So we see this grifting that we started to get out there with these guys. And it did start in the 80s with the publications, with the magazines, some of these guys that were copy-pasting, these magazines and stuff. And it started to grow on social media. So now people started becoming more open about it and they weren't hiding their use anymore. So, but it also brought them a lot of unwanted attention. So we've seen guys, out there get busted for using steroids because literally, they're out there bragging about it and they're posting videos of them using steroids and they're posting, tons of gear online. And you're basically just opening the door to get busted. And then you get busted and then you cry about it. It's just like, dude, keep it to yourself. Like, there's no need to brag about how much steroid you use. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, when I was using tons of steroids back in my 30s, I don't use steroids very much anymore. Very, very rarely do I use steroids now. I'm almost 50, but back when in my 30s, when I was using tons of steroids, I didn't go around bragging about it. I didn't go to the gym and brag to everybody there. Hey, I'm using steroids. I'm using steroids. So, literally, the answer to this question, I think number one answer, mobster, I think 90% of you out there will agree with this. Why do some people hide their steroid use? It's because it's nobody's business. But at the end of the day, in this podcast, we're going to talk about on the next topic, loved ones, and kind of go debate that. Is it your loved one's business, your spouse? Is it your doctor's business? Should
Yes,
you be
yes,
discussing it? And that's the main
yes.
crux of this. So we're going to get into that shortly. So finish up this topic, we'll move on.
Yeah, I'm actually going to move on a little bit from what Steve said. I did say that there's a certain legal hypocrisy, which Steve touched upon, purely simply because Steve's quite correct. If you're stupid enough to post pictures of you injecting yourself online, on YouTube, on Instagram, whatever, and I've seen these posts for clickbait, for traction, and then you get busted, well, you're an idiot. But equally, and I've had the cease and desist letters twice from Customs and Excise, it's a giant pain in the ass. And I really don't want to be on some fucking red list somewhere regarding my getting steroids sent to me in a post. I understand the legal implications, but equally, the hypocrisy is, as Steve's quite correct, buying, selling, distribution in the United Kingdom is, for all intents and purposes, illegal. And yet, personal use, importation, where you go to France, buy some, walk it across customs, declare it, pay the tax, and bring it to the UK and use it for myself is not. I could believe within the European Union is not. And we left the European Union. So the hypocrisy arguably is they're more concerned about me not paying VAT than they are about what I'm injecting into my body from another country, legal or otherwise. And again, the same thing applies in the States. So it's there's a little bit of a thing there. And we're going to get past slightly when we talk about TRT into the medical insurance side. But let's move on, as Steve quite correctly says. I'll address this particular point here. The risk of secrets from loved ones. So Steve, we actually changed the way we were going to word this because Steve's quite correct. Now, I said myself, and this might just be my personality, that I'm able to talk reasonably well. Hence this podcast about the subject. I would imagine Steve would be the same. We're not arseholes. We're not doing crazy amounts that drive us crazy or whatever else. And it shouldn't change our personality type at all, if at all, in terms of who you was before, off cycle and on cycle. The worst that happened to me, Steve, is that I would train my ass when I was competing, train so goddamn hard I'd be tired, and that might make me miserable rather than training so goddamn hard and be tired and taking drugs that made me irritable. I wasn't doing that. So especially pre-competition or just before competition. And I would explain that I'm going to be grumpy and tired and hanging off my ass and everything sore and so on and so forth. And just let me have that week or two. Support me at the competition. Let's get this done. Thank you very much for your support. So there's a bit of a problem here. And again, arguably, that word hypocrisy is kind of crazy because of the sheer, and I've used this analogy on another show, Steve. Most adult Americans are on five prescribed medications. We're perfectly fine. We've taken over-the-counter and prescription medications, including to help us lose weight. That would be for women. We're using steroidal compounds as contraception. And we're controlling our estrogen if we're women and so on and so forth. But sometimes, and it's more men to women, the women will have a problem with the idea of their better half, their other half, whatever you want to call it, using steroids. Now, my argument is thus. I struggle with the idea, but I'll bring Stephen to give the other view. I struggle to the idea of saying that this person I'm with, male, female, pronouns, whatever you like, the person that I'm with should be the closest person to me emotionally, whatever you like, in my fucking life right now. And yet I'm supposed to be comfortable with the idea of keeping a secret. And that to me doesn't make much sense. Can't say that this person, I love the ground, I worship the ground they walk on, Steve. They worship the air that they breathe. I can't hide any secrets from my wife, but she doesn't know about my steroid use. That makes no sense to me. Equally, we've talked about it on other shows where we say, okay, they might be okay with your steroid use, but they don't want you to have steroids in the house in case you've got kids, because of the whole business connecting injectable steroids with injectable recreational drugs and so on. The obvious thing, and I touched upon it with my reference to my mother earlier on, them being a little bit lacking in education because of the influence of the media. So then you get into, they worry about your health. Are you doing yourself some damage? What about the risk of infection from using needles and so on that the doctor's not doing? And that whole kind of stuff. The media, and even a 5-minute search on Google versus proper research. So what do you think about this idea, this concept, Steve, of hiding your steroid use from your spouse, from your other half?
Well, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, it's not a big deal, you can be open about it and all this stuff, because I do this podcast. So who's going to, and my diet is so on point, and my training is on point, and I have a ripped physique year round, 6-pack, 4-pack, year round, even though I'm closer to 50. And most Americans my age are pregnant. Most men my age are pregnant. They have the pregnant gut, you see? So it's easy for me to have a spouse who's going to be accepting of if I use steroids, which I don't use very much steroids anymore. As I said, I'm past that stage. I went full circle with it after all my injuries and issues that I had. I'm full circle. But, at the end of the day, most of you out there don't have that luxury having a podcast, of hosting a podcast, doing thousands of episodes and writing articles and all the stuff that I've done over the years. So here's what I recommend for you. If your spouse isn't comfortable with using steroids, then you need to prove to them that you're knowledgeable about using steroids. I've had so many females come to me over the years for consultations. And you can hit me up on the forums, by the way, if you're interested in a one-on-one consultation, because I'm always willing to help people. But I've had so many hit me up, Momster, because they were worried that their husband or their boyfriend was using steroids, and they wanted them to use them the right way, because they didn't believe they were using them the right way. They believed that they were getting the information from social media, from a buddy at the gym, from the personal trainer, from their gym dealer, whatever. So they wanted to come to me and do a consultation so I could show them how to use them properly, and they've taken notes and everything. So this is very, very important that you know what you're doing when it comes to this stuff. Because frankly, if I had a spouse, let's say I was gay and I had a boyfriend, and my boyfriend was using a shit ton of steroids, okay? And he didn't know what the fuck he was doing, and he was abusing himself, and he was treating it like a joke, and he had his blood pressure was 180 over 110, and his resting heart rate was well over 100, and his cholesterol was out of control, and his red blood cell count was out of control, I'd be worried for him. I'm like, dude, you're going to kill yourself here. You're going to give yourself a stroke. And his liver values were at 200 or 300. I'd be like, dude, what the fuck's going on here? You're abusing yourself. I wouldn't like it either. Because I'd be like, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Or if he was running, 25-week steroid cycles and blasting and cruising year-round, I would be very worried about his health as well. So at the end of the day, prove to your spouse that you know what you're doing. What if you were a drug addict and you drink alcohol and you didn't even work out? You worked out like you were a weekend warrior, you worked out like once or twice a week, and then you wanted to go use steroids. Imagine how many people have come to me over the years that I know, in person or on the forums, and they're like that, and they want to use steroids because they think steroids are the magic pill. I'm not going to support them using steroids in that situation. So you have to put yourself in other people's shoes. You have to prove to people that you have put in the work and you have that base and you know what you're doing. You have your diet on point, your training on point. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't take recreational drugs. You don't do any of that shit. You don't eat junk food every day and all this other shit. And prove yourself and they will support you.
Here's a huge risk, I think, and we can address this before we move on, Steve. One contentious, possibly contentious issue is the following. And you just mentioned the drug and alcohol thing. Okay, so I'm just thinking of divorces and separations and the legal shit. So what can happen? And we've seen this occasionally happen. And it could be drugs, it could be steroids, it could be whatever. Is that on occasion, divorces are fucking messy. Because they on occasion feel it's horrendous, get divorced full stop. You have a messy divorce. You're trying to get access to the kids. You don't want the quote unquote the bitch to get the house. You want it to be fair and amicable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what can sometimes happen? And we've all seen soaps doing this, documentaries dealing with this, podcasts dealing with this, articles dealing with this. Shit gets nasty. And one of the things that can be thrown in your face, and I've literally, I think I've seen a couple of times where the man using the steroids, and it could be the woman, it makes no difference. But in this example, the man had to go and get blood tests to show that there was no steroids in his system so that they could get past certain particular issues that had been thrown onto the table in between the lawyers, in between the solicitors, in between the whole legal bullshit of court and whatever else. Because they wanted to somehow prevent access or get more money because he's an arsehole when he's on
Yeah.
steroids, and that's the
So
reason why I'm being
let me
divorced.
explain the way it works. When you go through a divorce, okay? The way the lawyer, if you get lawyers involved, the way the lawyers are going to attack the situation is leverage. They're going to use leverage and negotiation tactics. So what they're going to do is they're going to ask you, does your spouse use drugs? Does your spouse do steroids? Does your spouse abuse you? Does your spouse yell at the kids? Does your spouse hit the kids? Anything. Anything. To get leverage against you, so they can, when they go to court, they can say that in front of the judge to try to get the judge more sympathetic to their side. The other lawyer is going to do the same thing to you. And they're going to ask, has they cheated on you, all this stuff. Even if you're in a no-fault state, they're still going to use that as leverage. And they're going to try to use that to get more custody of the kids, to get more money, to get more off of you. And it's a negotiation. And then at some point, you come to a middle ground, wherever that may be, and do it. But let's say you use steroids, your spouse's lawyer is going to use that against you in court because what they're going to do, they're going to use that to say, well, he shouldn't have any custody of the kids because he's on steroids and he gets angry and he screams and he yells and he's abusive because he's using steroids. And what's going to happen is, even if that's not true, they're still going to use that against you and they're going to use that. So instead of getting 50-50 custody, they might negotiate it to a 55-45 or 60-40, you see? So the lawyer's job is to extract as much from the other person as possible. This way they get more leverage. So they'll say, you know what? We'll do 50-50 with custody, but you're going to give her $100,000 more in alimony. That would be that's how we're going to come to that because you're a steroid user, and if you're not going to do that, we're going to try to get 100% custody, and then you kind of negotiate, and then you negotiate it to 75-25 and all this stuff. So that's how it works when it comes to that. So you have to, you may. It may come to that. And we've seen guys on the forum. I've talked to them. I've been friends with some guys on the forum. There was a guy, one of our mods now, and he went through a divorce, and the wife absolutely used his steroid use against him in court. And, you're in front of a judge, and the judge is going to ask you, hey, have you used steroids? And if you lied to the judge, she can bring evidence to prove that you used steroids. Maybe she took a picture of the steroids. I don't know. But she can use that. And if you're lying to the judge, then the judge is really gonna hammer you hard. And really, really, the judge might say, yeah, you have to pay her $100,000 and you get no custody of the kids at all. So you've gotta be, aware of that when you're going through divorce proceedings. So it is a tough situation, mobster. And sometimes at the end of the day, you get screwed, in that situation.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, talk about that, but at the end of the day, let's answer the question. Should you, at the end of the day, hide it from your spouse? That's
I'm
the
gonna
crux.
in simple terms, I'm gonna say no, you shouldn't. You should be open about this. And like Steve said, absolutely do your best to educate them. If you're thinking of the future. And if you're already thinking about divorce, perhaps that relationship's not as good as it should be anyway. And then it is a bone of contention. I would like to think, but who knows how these works? Never had to go through this situation. I would like to think it's becoming less of an issue, but divorces can be nasty. Lawyers do what lawyers have got to do. That's what you're fucking paying them for. This is from both sides. And the muckraking, never mind steroids, there's a bunch of other things that could be thrown up. I can understand in that situation, if I was at all concerned, I might sort of say to myself, you know what? As much as I'd like to be able to open and honest about it and educate my partner, I don't think it's worth the risk. So you've got really got to decide this for yourself. I would argue as best as possible, you come to Evolutionary, you direct them towards our podcast, we direct you to the podcast or good articles, and we say, look, you know, as best we possibly can, like those people that Steve's done consults with, this is their best approach. This is what we think is the healthiest. This is how you can understand the educational side. These are good places to look for information and try as best you possibly can. And hopefully, being like that, being that kind of direct, being that educational, being sympathetic to their concerns means I would like to think, but who the fuck knows, Steve, that it
Yeah.
doesn't get thrown in your face in the case of a divorce.
Here's the
What
thing.
about? Yeah, go on.
Here's the thing with women. Women know everything. Okay. Women are very,
Yes,
very aware. So if you're hiding something, she's gonna know you're hiding it. She's gonna find it. Literally, you can play this trick. You can change you can move a lamp from one side of the room to another and wait for your wife or girlfriend to come home. And she'll come home and the first question she'll ask is, why did you move the lamp? Like, they literally notice everything. So don't try it. If you think you're gonna hide it from, you'll do a really good job of hiding it. You might wanna like store it in like a storage locker or something, like a climate controlled storage locker, and then go there to use, and then like kind of like go in your storage locker, close the door, and then inject the steroids right there, and then put them back in your storage locker and leave. That might be the only way you're gonna be able to pull off hiding it, because you're not
Even
gonna be
then,
able
you
to hide
probably,
it.
why do you keep going to that storage locker? What do you keep it down there?
And then, yeah, she's gonna get your storage locker and go in there and find it too. So, yeah. So at the end of the day, look, it's a tough situation. But let us know in the comments what you think. If you think you should do it or you think you should not, because there is at the end of the day, I've seen guys over the years, Momster. They're like, oh, I married the perfect person. I love this person. She'll never do it. And then they came back later and they said, you know what? I'm getting a
Beat me
divorce,
on
and
the
she's
arse.
using the steroids against me to fucking take fucking 80% of my money. Because she's using
Exactly.
steroids against me. So it's like, look, at the end of the day, relationships are tough, they're tough. So.
So here's the one, and again, this is the one that actually kind of inspired this show today. So specifically TRT, but I'm gonna address it a broader way, the whole hiding PED use from your doctor. So the broader part of this, Steve, and I touched upon Steve in the pre-show of this, was for the most part, and this again, it's the US medical insurance thing versus the UK. Here in the UK, I've had a couple of checkups. I can't remember what it was for now, Steve. It was a long time ago. And I think the whole using medication, using steroids thing came up. It's not uncommon in the South valleys of South Wales for young, fit, muscular gentlemen to be using steroids, quite prevalent, in fact. And I think it might have been one of those age type checks. So, you know, they do the blood pressure, your height, weight, BMI, and so on and so forth. And I've even had a test on it, Steve, where my BMI is high because my body weight's high, but you can see veins on my arms. You can see that I've got triceps and quad muscles, et cetera. So I look muscular. And they literally said, we're not going to worry about that because we can see that you work out. Working out also allowed me to have more exercise than the average person per week in terms of hours, both cardiovascular and weightlifting. So I have had occasion, I think twice in the 12/13 years that I've lived here in South Wales, to talk to the doctor and say, yes, I use steroids. And it hasn't been an issue. I think I got a look. And that was about as bad as it got. But what I did say to Steve is, and I think this is important, Steve, certain steroids can thicken your blood, certain others can thin your blood, can affect the way that you respond to other medication. And specifically, certain medical conditions would require you to get different kinds of treatment. And I would be careful in that situation. I would almost want to make sure that the doctor knows what I'm taking. If I'm using steroids, or even if I've just finished the cycle, and I would hope that I wasn't on cycle and getting treated for a serious medical condition, Steve, but I would want to make sure that the steroids or whatever that I'm using or just finished using do not contradict the medical treatment that I'm receiving and specifically the medication that I'm receiving for that medical condition. So I'd want to be careful. If there was a something that involved me being anemic, for example, Steve, or bleeding too much or whatever, I wouldn't want them to be using steroids that's actually going to make the condition worse while the doctors are trying to treat me for the medical condition. The flip side of that, and I touched upon this briefly, is the issue of medical insurance, which I'll bring Steve in for because obviously he's American, he understands it better. So I argued off air with Steve in a pre-show saying, is there an issue with regards to steroid use and declaration for insurance purposes? Is there an issue with changing the premiums that you might have to pay, the amount you pay on a monthly basis for your medical insurance or so on? So bring Steve in for that, and then we'll specifically address the TRT aspect, Steve.
Yeah, so the Affordable Care Act was passed somewhere around the 2009, 2010, so about 14, 15 years ago. And one of the things in the Affordable Care Act, which was very important, was that it actually banned insurance companies from denying you based on pre-existing conditions or something you did in the past. So in other words, if you use steroids in the past, the insurance company can't come around and say, you know what, I'm going to prevent you from getting insurance because you use anabolic steroids. Or let's say you got in a car accident 10 years ago, or you had a heart attack 10 years ago, or whatever. So your past cannot affect what the insurance company can do. So that would be not allowed. So back then, it was probably allowed. Now, if they get rid of that, that, of course, can definitely come back, which is possible. The way our government is trending, it is possible they might get rid of it and kick a bunch of people off insurance. So we got to watch out for that. So you be aware of that. If you do get kicked off your insurance, they can deny you for using steroids. They will be able to do that possibly in the future. So hopefully that does not happen. Let's talk about why it's risky to keep steroid secrets from your doctor. Let me get into the story of Jerry Ward a little bit, because I researched this a little more. Jerry Ward, look, he was both loved and hated in the industry. I don't think you liked him, Mobster, very much. I liked him for some things. I didn't like him on other things.
Yeah, I'm the same on that.
Yeah, 50-50. Yeah. I mean, just like most of these doofuses on social media, you know, mostly I'm not a big fan of this whole social media shit. I don't like 95% of these guys I don't like at all, no offense. But look, at the end of the day, he passed away and he was in his 40s, and he passed away from pulmonary embolism. I think he was in his late 30s or 40s, but somewhere around 40 years old. Now, I looked into this a little bit, and I read some things from doctors about these pulmonary embolisms. And look, this is a condition that's caused by a blood clot. It usually develops in your legs, and it travels and blocks a pulmonary artery. So this condition can be made more risky in those who have a genetic marker for it. But it also, we also know that it can be more risky. And this is coming from doctors. This isn't me just pulling this out of my ass, guys. This is coming from legitimate cardiologists out there, that those of you who are on anabolic steroids and those of you who are on TRT, even just TRT, will be at a much greater risk of having one of these blood clots. And it can be made worse by other lifestyle issues. It can be made worse by, and in his situation, I believe he was traveling, like on a plane or something, and he wasn't moving. So if you have your leg like in a boot, or you have your, you know, you're sitting on a plane for hours, or you're driving for hours, this can come up and bite you in the ass. And he was having issues and he ignored them. He didn't go to the doctor. Had he gone to the doctor and told them, hey, I was sitting on a plane for a long time, I've been an anabolic steroid user for 20 or 25 years, I've been abusing steroids, I abuse steroids, I competed where I abuse steroids, I have a past history with drug use, I may have some genetic markers, I have a history of heart issues, blah, 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 then they would have been able to save his life, no problem. This is a treatable thing. But just by going to the emergency room and having them rush you in there and being looked at by a cardiologist. But he ignored it. He didn't talk to his doctor about it. He wasn't as open as he should have been to understand the risk factors of having this type of condition come up. And he ended up dying. Boom, just like that. It was something so preventable. Boston Lloyd, similar. Boston Lloyd was not open enough with his doctors where he told them I was abusing the shit out of steroids. And he ended up dying really, really young, Mob. So I think he was in his late 20s or something like that because he wasn't listening to his doctors. He wasn't open to his doctors about his steroid use. So please, my recommendation is be open with your doctor. We have HEPA laws that help keep what you say to your doctor private. Your doctor cannot go and report you to, the authorities for breaking the law and using steroids or whatever, or using cocaine or anything. They have to keep it a secret, right? And you have a privacy thing with the doctors. It's very, very important. And that helps people. It's just like the person who has a baby and they don't want the baby. You have a right in America to take that baby down to a fire station and drop the baby off. No questions asked. You won't get in trouble. But you won't, if you leave the baby in the ditch, you will get in trouble. So it's just kind of the same thing. So be open and honest about the situation. Yes, it's a shitty situation you got yourself in, and you should have never done it. But at the end of the day, you can easily have saved your life and not left your wife widowed at a very young age just by being open about your life. It's an extreme example that I'm bringing up, but it happens
But we
every
have to
fucking
think
day
about
in
it.
America. It happens every day.
The big example, which we've seen multiple times on a forum, is specifically the TRT. I'll address this at the beginning of. I'm going to sound a little bit judgmental, guys. I kind of get confused in the simplest way because we have access, we have great sources. Self-TRT is relatively easy to do. And yeah, I do understand why people still prefer to use a clinic. Okay. So you've got guys that have gone to a TRT clinic or doctor, being prescribed TRT, which would typically be something like propionate or enanthate at a relatively low dose. 90 to 120 milligrams per week, or the equivalent. Even here in the NHS, I think testosterone and decanate every 6 weeks, 1,000 milligrams, works out to around the same, 120 milligrams a week-ish. And people go crazy. They like pharma. They like the idea of prescribed TRT. One of the great advantages of prescribed TRT should be that they will monitor you via blood tests. Make sure that your blood pressure's fine, make sure your lipids are good, make sure your cholesterol's on point, and so on and so forth. And if required, tweak the dosages. However, you will then see people say, I want to run a cycle, call it a blast in this particular situation because you're on TRT. And I don't want that to affect my numbers when I go to see my TRT doctor, when I go to see my TRT clinic. Now I'm like, just do self-TRT. It's got to be a lot easier. You're going to save an absolute fortune. You can still get blood tests. You can still look for those markers yourself. You can still go and get, you can not only can you send your blood off to be tested, and Steve's got a link on the forums that you can use, which is a great price, but you can still pay for that blood test. You can, you're paying for the TRT clinic. You can still ask for blood tests to be done as frequently as the endocrinologist or your TRT clinic would have done for you, and still have those numbers looked at and come onto the forum and ask us to look at your numbers for you. So you can still do those things if you want to. The fortune, the small, and it is kind of a small fortune, Steve. It'll pay for itself very quickly between getting it at a clinic and paying clinic prices or via your medical insurance, if that's an even better option, or pay for it yourself. But what about this whole idea of hiding? A small cycle, a sensible cycle, which we'll touch upon briefly, versus, and then not having that affect
So
your
let me
TRT.
finish this topic with a stark warning to all of you. The number one killer in America right now is heart disease. So when you use anabolic steroids, it makes your blood thicker. It opens you up for blood clots. It does a, and it's clogged. It helps to clog up your arteries even more. So you're opening yourself up to a really damn good chance of getting some type of heart ailment when you use anabolic steroids. So here's a simple solution for all you listening to this. Find a good cardiologist in town. They're not the nicest people. A lot of them are dickheads. A lot of them are jerks. A lot of them have no social skills at all. Okay. That's a well-known fact. It's just the type of people that get into cardiology. I can't explain it. I was pre-med, so I saw this myself. Bunch of cocky motherfuckers, you know? But at the end of the day, you need to find a damn good one that's gonna watch over you and do the proper tests that you need. At 40 years old, at 45 years old, at 50 years old, 55, 60 years old, whatever. Whatever they need to do. Because all this shit is preventable that we talked about. Boston Lloyd's, Jerry Ward, both of them, it was a preventable situation that could have been prevented had they been working with a doctor and been open and honest with the doctor. You need to be open and honest with your cardiologist. Be like, hey, I use anabolic steroids. And I've abused anabolic steroids this much. I've done this, I've done that. Be open and honest with them. This way they can do the necessary tests to make sure. What happens if your artery is 90% clogged and they do a test and you're 90% clogged? You know what? You can get an angioplasty and open up that artery rather than waiting for yourself to get a heart attack. And then it's going to be a big, big mess after that. So work with your doctor and stop being stubborn and lazy when it comes to this shit, because this is like having a fucking cavity and ignoring that cavity. And then now the cavity becomes a root canal. And now you need a root canal. Now you need a crown. It's going to cost you like $2,000 or $3,000 when you could have gotten the cavity done for like 150 bucks and been done with it, because you were stubborn and you were not proactive on top of your health. So it's absolutely unacceptable.
One of my favorite analogies, Steve, and we've used this one before, is the car. You find yourself, you've got a sports car. It doesn't have to be high end, but you've got a sports car. You find a great mechanic who really knows how to look after your car. And at some point, you will get the look from the mechanic when you've driven it like an arsehole. You didn't change your oil as often as you should. You've really killed the gears, etc., etc. And he will look at you and say, "What the fuck have you done to my baby?" And you're paying him to look after it. That's kind of what sometimes happens with the doctors. Come on to the forum and ask us for suggestions where we can be more in depth about running sensible cycles, which we're going to talk about now, and how perhaps to keep your numbers where they need to be when you go back to the TRT clinic. My last bit of advice on that, Steve, is I would rather you did something after the visit and give yourself as long a time to recover pre your next visit so that your numbers are back to where they should be prior to visit the clinic, rather than sort of ask us a few weeks before the visit if you can run a cycle and then get your numbers back down very, very quickly, because that's kind of unrealistic. Let's talk a bit about briefly here, Steve, using Boligus products, the kind of approach that we would take to sort of be as healthy as possible, not to piss your spouse off, and obviously TRT options, etc. I will start this with, and we said this, Steve, if we're going to avoid anything, and I can think of another couple here, Steve, forget Halo, forget Superdrol, forget Tren. But if only because they can make you miserable, they will definitely throw your numbers off. Talk specifically here, Steve, and I know you've got a great one with Tren, and then we'll talk about the better options, which would be keep your spouse happy, keep your health markers as reasonable as we can.
Tren is the relationship killer for a reason. It does a lot of things in your brain with neurotransmitters to throw you off. You're going to be wanting to fuck everything that you see. You're going to drive yourself crazy on it. You know, it turns you into a Neanderthal, pretty much. So it's killed every relationship that I've been in. Every single relationship, it's killed. Not just for my attitude, but because I was being more short. I was being more, if I didn't eat a meal, if I was at a restaurant and the waitress was taking too long, I was snapping at the waitress. I was basically being more short with people, and I was really straining my relationship a lot. And I wanted to go fuck as much women as I can. So it's a big problem. You use Tren. So Tren's a relationship killer right off the bat. It's going to piss your spouse off, and it's also going to piss your doctor off, because your numbers are going to go absolutely horrendous in your blood work. Everything's going to be off in your blood work from using Tren. It's an absolute killer. It's so fucking inflammatory in the body. So that's like the worst one to use. But if you do want to go for it and piss your spouse and doctor off, Bilagos has damn good Tren. And they have Tren Ace, they have Tren E, they have other Tren options, including mixes and blends. You can run the trend, but keep the dose low and keep it short. So 200 milligrams a week or 250 milligrams a week in 8 weeks or less would be my recommendation. Now, another tip is with the TRT. Momster mentioned TRT. Belagas has great TRT options. Their
Loads.
testosterone, the testosterone cypionate is fantastic. You only have to inject it once a week. Even once every 10 days or once every 2 weeks is fine. They have Sustanon, which is also very smooth compared to other Sustanon. That's another great TRT option where you'd only have to inject it every 2 or 3 weeks with the Sustanon. Now, here's the deal.
Multiple enanthate versions of testosterone. I'm looking at the
Yeah,
450
but it's
and
not as
300.
good for TRT if you're doing
No,
enanthate.
I would go with the cypionate, but the half-life is very
But yeah,
similar.
enanthate, a lot of some people like that. But here's the thing with the TRT. If you don't want to piss your doctor off, is run the correct TRT dose. Okay. I was researching when I was researching the Jerry Ward thing. I'm not surprised at all, but I came across some really good cardiologists who were warning about TRT. And the problem is people abuse their TRT. They run 200 milligrams a week of TRT and they think that's TRT. It's not. You're running twice what your body should normally produce. So stick to TRT 90 to 120 milligrams a week. That's your proper TRT dose. All right. If you run more, you're going to piss your cardiologist off because you're going to strain your heart health and you're going to thicken your blood. So it's very, very important, especially considering it's week by week and it's long term where you're going to be on this for the rest of your life. You don't want to run too much. You're going to take years off your life. So stick to 90 to 120 milligrams of TRT. And Belagas has high quality testosterone where you don't have to run a high dose. When it comes to, I'm gonna name a couple more steroids, Momster, and then I'm gonna give you the floor to talk about your favorite cycles. But another steroid, and we've seen so many guys on the forum now, our Australian guys especially love primobolan, and they have the blood work to prove that the primobolan does not fuck your blood work up like other steroids. The reason why is it's extremely mild, and Belagas has an excellent primobolan. I love to see guys who are doing good results on primobolan. It's not going to give you anything close to what you're going to get on trend, but it also is going to give you nothing close to what trend is going to do to your bloods either. So you're going to keep your doctor happy on primobolan. And primobolan dosage anywhere from 300 to 400 milligrams is a mild amount, and you'll keep your side effects low. When it comes to orals, turonabol. Very, very mild steroid, not a lot of side effects. It will strain your liver a little bit, but it's a very mild option. If you keep it to 6 weeks or less and keep it at 30 milligrams or less, you'll have a very mild situation. You won't piss off your doctor. And Belagas has excellent turonabol as well as other excellent orals. Mobster, give us some ideas.
Yeah, just as an example, and this is relatively easy to do, you're using the same medication that you're already using. So, for example, and I'm looking at the cipro-testosterone 200, so which is testosterone cypionate, Steve, I would double down. I mentioned making sure you get blood tests. You can obviously get your testosterone levels checked. It doesn't have to be in excess of 900 nanograms a deciliter, which will be the high end of natural. Doesn't have to be 1,000 or 2,000 for you still to get great results, guys. So, for example, let's say that you are exactly where Steve said, exactly where I said, 90 to 120 milligrams per week as prescribed. Double down for 4 to 8 weeks. Go from 90 to 180 or from 120 to 240. You will see a boost in your training. You will see a boost in your performance in the gym. Heck, Steve, you'll see a boost in your performance in the bedroom. Because, like Steve said, you've gone from around what your body would naturally produce pre-testosterone to double or 2.5 times as high. You could even triple down, Steve, and you'd still be under 500 milligrams a week. And again, it's going to be in your system for a relatively long time. So do what I suggested earlier, which is get it done after your checkup at the TRT clinic and then just run 8, 12 weeks and then make sure you get yourself plenty of time, let's say roughly every 3 months. So another 12 weeks to get your numbers back down to where they would be normally. Again, 90 to 120 milligram ton of dosage and the effect on your body before you go back to the clinic. So that's how I would do it. Steve was 100% correct with the T-bolt. I had that up on the screen, Steve. And the only other one, and this was an oral option like the turonabol, would be Anavar. And again, lights. So for example here, Steve, whether it would be Dynabol as an oral or Anavar as an oral, we know that some of the numbers people run at the higher end, and we know that we can get great results for the majority of listeners at the lower end. And what do I mean by the higher end? Anavar is a good example here, Steve. pre-competition, I know some competing bodybuilders would go as high as 100 milligrams per day, that'd be 700 milligrams a week, for 2 to 4 weeks pre-competition. And that's for a specific reason in order to get them into competitive shape. The great and vast majority of users, myself included, run somewhere between 30 to 50 milligrams a week. And in fact, I would argue, Steve, especially if you're on TRT, running that with a little bit of Anavar around a 30 milligram level will give you great results. And again, recommended dosages would be 4 to 8 weeks. Taranabol, again, Steve, just as the thing, because we know that it boosts your cardiovascular ability, it enables you to do other things on the cycle that would perhaps impact your cardiovascular and heart health, like Steve said, is super, super important. Listen, we talk about companies like Belagus for a reason. Belagus is a huge, big name Belgian pharmaceutical company, which means it's literally licensed, checked, approved, federal authorities can pop in, quality control has to be sky high. This is an actual place in Belgium that could be visited and looked at and will come underneath the local authorities. It's not some underground lab. It's not even a high-tech, good, approved underground lab. It's an actual pharmaceutical company. When you look at the products they have, Steve, like Steve said, they've got everything you need. As I think you and I looked at this before, and it was like 60 or 70 different products, formulations. One of my favorite things that they do before we finish the show is how they've looked at what people use for their cycles, and they put that in a blend. If you use this and this together for a cut, then they put that together in a blend. If you use this and this together for a bulk, they put that together in a blend. So they've done, you can have it, but you've got the flexibility by running single options. But if you know what works for you and you know that this blend is effective for you, they have a blend you can use as well. I love that about Belagus. So that's absolutely awesome.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, check out Belagus. Come on the forum if you want to find out where to get Belagus. They're a great, great, great brand. So, Mobster, take us in the disclaimer.
Exactly. Please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience and views on the topic, a podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, the freedom of speech and the First Amendment.